the Rugby Union Podcast.
Welcome to William Hill's Rugby Union Podcast. I'm Michael Casey and I'm joined on the line by former England international Jeff Probyn as we preview all of this weekend's Six Nations competition and games. Jeff, the England dream of a Grand Slam ended last week, and I guess in kind of disappointing circumstances, beaten 19-9 by Ireland, and for me they look second best for pretty much all the 80 minutes.
No, I've got to say, Michael, they can't have any complaints as an Englishman. I hate to say that I called it in favour of Ireland, but I did.
No, you did. I didn't.
My heart was England, but you just felt that England hadn't really put in a performance. They missed Mike Brown very badly. I think that Alex Good just didn't really live up to what Mike Brown has done as a fullback when he's in terms of attack, and I think that dynamic play that Brown brings to the side, really was missed quite heavily, because the way the Irish play the game, a kick and chase game, you need somebody who really is going to get back in your face, and Mike Brown does that. Alex Good doesn't quite so much. He's a very, very skillful player, but he hasn't got the physicality and the pace that Brown has when he launches a counter-attack. And I think that was sorely missed by England. But as I say, there were some promising things in it. The Irish forwards performed better than we expected against the English forwards. Our back row needs to be looked at. And, you look at what Stuart Lancaster's brought in this week and how he's changed the back five, Balding, Courtney, Laws. He's giving the rest of the guys another go, but it'd be interesting to see if he does make changes after this game.
Yeah, it certainly will. I think you alluded to the Irish back row there. I thought particularly at the breakdown, particularly the rooks, the Irish back row absolutely flourished, and which is quite interesting, because I thought Sean O'Brien going off early might have hampered them, but the lads that did came on in place, obviously Omani, had a superb game, and I don't know, I just think we lost the battle on the floor far too often, and combined with some sort of momentum sapping penalties, Ireland were able to just keep that stranglehold on the game. In the other fixtures from the last round then, of course, we saw France versus Wales, in a game that for me told me how bad France were rather than how good Wales were, and then Scotland beating Italy, which I believe you predicted at 5-1, Jeff.
Yes, I did.
I
don't like to brag a bit, but I think that Italy are very much always underrated. The game against England, as I said, they scored three tries against England. They did. If England got the extra tries, got two extra tries that really weren't tries, the Bini Vainapola one and the Ben Youngs one. So they actually put in a good performance against England, a far better one than the score reflected. So the game against Scotland, you kind of expected that this was the game that Italy needed to win, and they knew they needed to win. Scotland were missing Finn Russell. That made an impact on their game. They've missed, obviously, Richie Gray, and they just don't have the strength in depth to lose quality players like that, and Italy took advantage of it. Got to be said, it came down to the wire, it came down to a penalty try in the last minutes, but I think that Italy, and as much as Scotland think we hate them, I don't hate them. I still remember 1990. It still grinds every time I think about it. But the reality is that Scotland didn't deserve to win that game. They gave Italy too many options, and Italy took them.
On to this weekend then, fixtures then. We start with what will be the game of the round, most would imagine, as Ireland travel to the Millennium Stadium to take on Wales. Ireland are favourites for this game at 4-5. Wales 11-10. The handicap is just 2 points. If we're talking team changes, Jordy Murphy, who I think is a little bit unfortunate on the back of a solid back row performance that we alluded to earlier, he misses out in place of Jamie Heaslip and is one of just two changes, I believe, for the Irish. Johnny Sexton keeps his place at fly half. And the Wales, they have gone with the same 15 that beat France. I said in the a bit earlier there, Jeff, that I thought that game maybe told us how bad France were rather than how good Wales had played. I don't know if you subscribe to that theory.
I certainly do. I think that the one positive point from a Welsh point of view is that their forwards performed with certainly more flair than they and skill than they showed against England. And from that point of view, it was a case of the Welsh forwards stepping up to plate, giving their backs a chance to play. Some interesting refereeing decisions, which Lee Halfpenny converted to points, and it wasn't really a great Welsh performance. Yes, it got them back on track. Yes, it's brought them back into potential championship contenders. But I think the reality is that this Irish team are playing too good a rugby at the moment. Everyone thinks they're just a kick and chase game, but they've got a lot more in it than just that. I think having Jamie Heaslip back in the side will be a positive thing for the Irish. So I think the Irish are favourites, but I think the score will be slightly more than 2 points.
I have to agree. I think you can look at Ireland -2 at 10 to 11. That's the initial 80-minute handicap we've got. We have got alternative handicaps as well. There's one here that catches my eye, Jeff, and this is the alternative handicap. You can look at Ireland -7 points. Now, that's 7-4. Would that fall into a little bit more of the region that you're expecting with regards to the outcome?
Certainly, yeah. I think 7 to 10 points is where I see this game going, and I think Ireland won't give away as many penalties as the French did. They've got their own good goal kicker in Johnny Sexton. So they'll be keeping the scoreboard ticking over as well. From an Irish point of view, they know how good a goal kicker Lee Halfpenny is, and so they'll try not to give him the opportunities, as they didn't give England the opportunities when last week. So from that point of view, you kind of see that Ireland understand the way they're playing at the moment. They're playing with a lot of confidence. I think this will be a 7-point win. Wales haven't made the Millennium Stadium a fortress. You know, England went there and won quite comfortably. Ireland go there quite regularly, and they know how to play against Wales. This is a game that I think Ireland will see their way forward to a grand slam.
Okay, the -7 points there at 7-4. You could also look at Ireland winning by 6 to 10 points, which would fall into that margin you were talking about, Jeff. That's 5-1. We have got the full try scorer markets priced up. Are there any that might catch your eye? I suppose if I'm looking at the Wales side of things, you've got the two wingers in George North and Liam Williams. Number 9, Rhys Webb, has had decent try scoring form this season, but I guess really you'd be more interested in some of the Irish players.
Yeah, I mean, Jonathan Davis has always got to be worth a look, hasn't he?
11-2 any time.
Yeah, he's there about, and he's got to be a guy to look at. As far as the Irish are concerned, well, they haven't scored many tries this championship. They're due a couple, and so you've got to look at Tommy Bowe, see if he's around there and up for it.
He's there at 7-4, heads of betting ahead of Simon Zeba. I'm going to throw Robbie Henshaw into the mix. Obviously scored his debut try for Ireland, did the 21-year-old man from Connacht against England. Very nice up and under that he fielded. It's not often that the Connacht men get too much of a mention. It's always dominated by Munster and Leinster, and in more recent times Ulster in the Irish national squad. So I guess Robbie Henshaw flying the flag for the Connacht men.
Certainly was, and great chase on the Connacht Murray kick. You know, when everyone was reporting earlier, they said it was a Sexton kick. It was actually from Conor Murray, little chip over the top, and a great chase, a great leap, and took the ball straight out of Alex Good's hands.
Indeed. The second game of the weekend then, and we're back at Twickenham as England try and keep their Grand Slam hopes alive. It looks slim, obviously, on the back of last week's defeat to Ireland, but the bookies think they should bounce back quite confidently against Scotland this weekend. England are 1-12 in the betting. Scotland 7-1. It's 16 points on the handicap for England. There's a couple of, just the two changes to the starting 15, and Jeff, I'd imagine they're both pretty positive. The first is Mike Brown is back into the number 15 jersey. He replaces Alex Gould back from injury, and the other is Courtney Laws, who features for the first time this Six Nations, returning from injury.
Certainly does. It's very positive. I think it's very unfortunate for George Cruz. I heard he's deputised very well. He came in the game, played well. But they've gone for experience. They've brought Laws back. They've brought Parling onto the bench. England side, although they lost against Ireland, Lancaster's made a few excuses about the experience. It was a poor performance in terms of that, and as I said, they missed Mike Brown. I think with Mike Brown in there, certainly he'll give a better running option and a better attacking option, and bring the likes of Watson in, as he did against Wales, where he did that superb chip through for Watson's try. Jonathan Joseph coming back in at the side as well, got substituted off quite early in the Ireland game, and he'll be looking to prove a point, really. So as a leading try scorer, you've got to see him as a potential player to score a try against the Scots. Scotland, they've got they've got Finn Russell back in the side. That's positive for them. Obviously, they're still without the player that I think makes a big difference to them, in Richie Gray. They've brought back Jim Hamilton. I expect a fight at some point in the game that, that Jim's there. What are the odds of that? You know, if there's a market on that, put me a tenner on it.
On which one, sorry, Jeff?
A fight between Jim Hamilton and one of his, and probably Courtney Law.
1-3. No, they're not priced up currently, but I don't think you'll be getting too much better than even money.
Well, I think that's probably true. But I think that you look at it, and the Scotland side, sadly, they've improved under Cossa, but they're still not firing on all cylinders. It's going to be a very, very big ask for them to go to Twickenham and perform. And England will need a good performance. They know they need a good performance. They know that anything other than truly dominating this game will not do. They need to show that they're back on form. The loss against Ireland was a blow for England, and they need to show a bit of class.
I agree. I think all the motivation is there, and the critics will be lined up to slate them if it is anything less than a top gear performance by England. The handicap at minus 16 points at 10-11, I think, is the side I'd want to be on rather than plus 16 on Scotland. And I think, to be honest, there is some value to be had in quite a few of the anytime try scorers, Jeff. All of England's back three are odds against. Anthony Watson 11-10, Jack Noll 7-4. You mentioned Jonathan Joseph in midfield at 7-4. Mike Brown there at 2-1. To be honest, I could probably split stakes across all of the England principals and hope that they run in a few tries.
Yeah, but I'd also look at the Scots. You know, Dougie first scored a try in his first outing when he played against France. Stuart Hogg's there, who's always a handful. There are people in that Scottish side to look at, and they will play. They brought back David Denton, whose work rate in the back row is phenomenal.
Carries well as well, of course.
Yeah, so they're looking. They've looked at how Ireland played the game against England, and you can see that Vern Cotter's kind of tweak this Scottish side to try and attack those areas as well. Maybe get the penalties like Ireland did. I don't think England will give away as many penalties. They're a bit stronger. They're a stronger side than the Scottish side, but the Scotland side will still give a decent performance. And, you know, Stuart Hogg and Tommy Seymour have got to be in with a shot there. And as I say, Dougie Firth as well. Their back three have got to be looked at as potential try scorers during the game.
Dougie Firth 4-1, Tommy Seymour also 4-1, and Stuart Hogg priced up at 11-2. The weekend's final game, the Sunday fixture, takes place in Italy in Rome, the Stadio Olimpico, as Italy take on France. A disappointing tournament for France. For Italy, not so, and certainly if they can make the last 2 weeks count. Philippe Santandrea has brought in a raft of substitutions for this game, Jeff. He's pretty much overhauled half of his squad. Indeed, he's made 8 changes. Bryce Doolan, who came into the side and scored last weekend, he's out. And let's see, Morgan Parra's gone, Remy Lamoret's gone, Wesley Fofana out through injury. It really is a very changed squad. I'll run through the 1-15. They go Scott Spedding at 15, Yohan Hugue and Noah Nakitaki on the wings, Gael Ficou and Maxime Mermo in the centres. It's a halfback pairing of Sebastien Tillers-Bordet and Camille Lopez. Up front, there you go, Eddie Benarouse, Guillaume Garrido, Nicolas Mas, Alexander Francart, Johan Mastri, Thierry Dussatoir, captains aside from blindside flanker with Bernard Leroux and Loan Gorjon at 8. So a complete change in personnel for France, who are 1-3 to go to Rome and beat Italy at 5-2. How much confidence have you got in that 1-3 on France, Jeff?
Well, not that much, to be honest with you. I mean, I think France will win, but I think that, you know, there's a bit of me says that Jack Brunel has understands the French game, obviously coaching Perpignan, being there, being around. 7 or 8 changes in a side going into a match is too many changes. It just breaks up the whole pattern of the game. Now, you could say that could be a bloody good thing considering the way France have been playing. The reality is that bringing back, he's gone for a bit more power at the back by bringing Spedding in. Spedding didn't have the pace or the skill of Dunning, but he's got a lot more power, and it's interesting to see the way that he's gone. He's still sticking with Camille Lopez at fly half, Saint-André, and that means that France will be playing a kick and chase game, very similar to Ireland. And I'm pretty sure that the Italians will deal with that quite well.
The French kicking for goal last week was absolutely atrocious. I mean, obviously they started with Camille Lopez, and then I believe Morgan Parra took over at half time and didn't fare any better. There's a lot of wasted chances kicking at goal last week, Jeff.
There certainly were, and Philippe Saint-André will be ruining that and looking for a goal kicker. I'm hoping that Lopez finds his boots this time. And the big point is for André now, he must be under pressure for his own job. There's a lot of people been mentioning the fact that they've brought in Serge Blanco to co-manage the team with him. If they don't start getting results, then there'll be blood in France. And he needs this game. And, you know, the problem for the Italians is they are underpowered. It was... Scotland versus Italy were two sides about the same level. If we're honest, we all know that France are capable of playing a higher level of rugby than the Italians. They've got the pedigree there. The top 14 is the best club competition in the world. It's played at the highest rate. Yes, it's slightly different playing at internationals. To be honest, my head says, please let Italy win. Please let Italy win. But this week, my heart's saying that my heart is saying, please let Italy win. But my head is saying, I think that France will just do it. I think that France.
How many points do you think they win it by then, Jeff?
I think that France will win it by 15.
Oh, by 15 then. So you're confident they'll cover a 7-point handicap?
I think they will. There's been a me that they've been playing badly, but in a way this is an all or nothing effort. There's the eight changes does throw everything up in the air. We can't really judge how this French team will play because it's never played before. And from that point of view, we're looking at it and we're saying, well, this is a gamble. They must be approaching this game in a different way to the way they've approached the other games they've played in this Six Nations. And that can only be a good thing, given the way that the standard of play that we've seen from in the other two games.
Well, France to win by 11 to 15 points is a generous 5-1. You can also bat them with a 7-point handicap at 10 to 11. Jeff, I hope you enjoy the penultimate weekend of the Six Nations, and we will be back next week.
Well, I'm putting my tenner on France at 5-1.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.